The hymn writer penned these words, "Clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne." The Bible tells us that when we become believers in Christ, we're given new spiritual clothing. The righteousness of Jesus is wrapped around us, making us worthy to stand before a holy God. Today, an Old Testament preview of this wonderful truth. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the invisible world, where battles are lost and won. Now, turn with us to Zechariah chapter 3 as we listen to a message on Jesus, the devil, and you.
We're coming near the end of our series of messages on the invisible world. We've learned that it is in the invisible world that God exists, angels, demons, heaven, hell. And of course, we are there as well because our minds actually exist also in the invisible world. Today, we're going to be studying the invisible world and our role in it, particularly as it has to do with Satan and Jesus, and the dispute happens to be over us. What we're going to learn is that as a result of this message, we should be able to sleep better than we normally do. We should deal with issues regarding our consciences, regarding guilt, and it's all here in God's holy word for us. I think you'll discover that every one of us needs this message. I need it. You need it. And of course, as you listen, you'll also be thinking of other people who also need it, so that I hope that this message has a wide distribution for the glory of God, the honor of Jesus, and the proclamation of his great gospel. Our text actually takes place in the third chapter of Zechariah. I wonder if you can find that in your Bibles. I hope so. If you have some trouble, you might want to look at the table of contents. And if you're using the Bible that is before you there in the seats, I think it's page 794. 794. If not, you go to the New Testament, Old Testament break, and then move backwards. Pretty soon you get to the prophet Zechariah, whose prophecy is filled with visions and all kinds of interesting predictions about Jesus Christ. The context is this. You remember that in 586 BC, the Babylonians came and they captured the Israelites. They destroyed Jerusalem, and then Israel was in Babylon for 70 long years. And when they came back, they rebuilt the temple, but it was also a time of great discouragement because of opposition. The temple was so small in comparison to Solomon's temple that many of the old people remembered. And it is in that context that Zechariah gave his prophecy. What we have in chapter 3 is a vision that he had, and he inserts himself into this vision, as we shall see in a few moments. I want to paint the scene for you. It is a court scene. You've all been in a courtroom. There is the presiding judge. It is the Lord, the angel of the Lord. Your Bibles are open. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. In the Old Testament, when you have the phrase, the angel of the Lord, it's a reference to Jesus. We know this because the angel of the Lord is spoken of as Jehovah, even in this passage, but he is also distinct from Jehovah. Who else would be God and yet distinct from God but Jesus Christ? So in the Old Testament, we even have here a reference to the Trinity. When you have an angel of the Lord, that's some individual angel like Michael or Gabriel, but when you have the angel of the Lord, it's a special designation for Jesus Christ. So Jesus is really the presiding judge. And what I'd like us to do is to look at the various personalities that are involved in this, and we'll see ourselves in a moment, and we'll understand why God's Word should be transforming and will be transforming in our lives as well as we take it in. The first person I want to talk about is Joshua. When you read Joshua, the priest, he's standing there, don't think that this is the Joshua of the one who fit the battle of Jericho. That's a different Joshua. That's Joshua, the great military leader. This is Joshua, the high priest. He led the children of Israel, those who came back from that captivity in Babylon. He was one of the leaders. He was the one who helped guide the building of the temple. And now he is standing before the Lord, before the angel of the Lord, and let's look at how he is dressed. You'll notice it says in verse 3, "Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments." Wow. He's actually representing, his clothes represent the sins of Israel. And what are those sins? Those sins were a sense of syncretism, that is to say, the worship of idols along with Jehovah. No doubt some people thought that that was a form of advancement and success, the amalgamation of other religions into the true religion of God. But God saw it as filthy. There was immorality. There was the exploitation of the poor. All the things that the prophets such as Jeremiah and Isaiah had spoken about. And now Joshua is standing in the presence of a holy God, filthy garments. We sometimes don't appreciate this because we forget that in the Old Testament there were specific rules as to how a priest should be dressed. And it always talked about being clothed in fine linen, linen that was clean. And if the priest personally even was in any way unclean, he had to bathe himself. After all, he is coming into God's presence. And here is Joshua standing there in the presence of God, standing filthy. Imagine how he felt. I remember being invited to an event one time, and I went in ordinary daytime clothes, maybe threw on a suit coat. Everybody else was dressed so formally. I remember how I felt, so out of place. I felt something like a counterfeit coin on an offering plate. I mean, somehow there was something here that says, I don't belong here. Imagine, you're standing in the presence of God. Joshua is burning with a sense of shame in God's holy presence, clothed in filthy garments. Really abhorrent. Just as our sin is to God, abhorrent. Well, that's Joshua. Now let's look at Satan. What is he doing? Well, you'll notice it says in verse 2. Well, it's still in verse 1. He's standing before the angel of the Lord, Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Satan is there to accuse Joshua. Satan, the fallen angel, who himself cannot be redeemed because he was not included in the death of Jesus Christ, the one who evidently at one time gave praise to God and was responsible for the choir in heaven, and yet he began to take glory for himself, and he was cast down out of heaven, at least cast down out of his position, though apparently he still has some access to heaven today, but he is now irredeemably evil, and he stands there to accuse Joshua. And what is he accusing him of? What is Satan saying? Well, we're not told in the text, but of course we can guess. Biblically, we can guess. What he's saying is this: Joshua, you have no right to stand in God's presence. For you to be here is an insult to God, and it is a compromise of God's holiness. Now notice this, in a sense, Satan is right in what he says. Why is he then rebuked, as we shall see in a moment? He's rebuked for the simple reason that he is doing it with the wrong attitude. Satan is angry with us as God's people, very angry. What makes him angry is that we participated in the fall just like he did. We deserve hell just like he does, but we don't get hell, we get heaven. And this makes him so angry to think that human beings who are in the same predicament as he is, they are exempt from God's wrath and anger, and he has to endure it forever. So what he is doing is he is accusing Joshua, reminding God that if you accept Joshua, the courts of heaven are going to be defiled. Satan is there to accuse. Well, there's a third personality in all this, and that is the Lord himself, whom we have already met in the introduction. You'll notice what happens in the text. And the angel, verse 4, said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." Wow. Take off his filthy clothes. Get rid of them, and I am giving you garments that are not only pure, but what the Hebrew text really means is garments of royalty, garments of beauty, garments that signify acceptance and prominence and importance. That's actually embedded here in the text. And so Joshua's clothes, his filthy garments, are taken from him, and he is clothed in pure garments, special garments that give him accessibility to God. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I can't help but think that I'm speaking to someone today who is awash with guilt. Yes, because of your past, because of your regrets, you wonder where you should turn. Well, let me say, first of all, that if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the first step. You have to receive His gift of eternal life so that you are reconciled to God. But I also can't help but think that there are many Christians, you've received Christ as Savior, but your past haunts you. I can't think of a message that I've ever preached that is as important to many, many people as the one that you have just listened to. You've just heard the first part of it. That's why I hope that you tune in next time for a continuation of this message and the glorious forgiveness and deliverance of Christ. Thanks so much for joining us. In a moment, you'll be given some information as to how these messages can be yours. But I do hope to see you right here next time on Running to Win. God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. You've heard Erwin Lutzer introducing Jesus, the Devil, and You, the seventh message in an 8-part series on the invisible world. Tomorrow, more about the wonder of wearing spiritual clothing we cannot yet see. These messages will make the invisible world very real to each of us. The entire series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the invisible world. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.